Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 20, The Dynasty of Puru, Text 21. So I guess some of you have books or iPads or whatever, so we can try to read the Sanskrit. Mata Bastra Pitu Putro Yena Jata Sa Eva Sa. Baraspa Putram Dushmanta Mavamamsta Shakuntala. There it is. Mata Bastra Pitu Putra Yena Jata Sa Eva Saha Paraspa Putram Dushmanta Mava Mamsta Shakuntala Mata Bastra Pitu Putro Yena Jata Sa Eva Saha Paraswa Putram Dushmanta Mavamamsta Shakuntalam Mata Bastra Pitu Putro Yena Jata Sa Eva Saha Paraswa Putram Dushmanta Mava Mamsta Shakuntala. Mata Bastra Pitu Putra Yena Jata Sa Eva Saha Mata Putra Pashkanta Amavamsta Shakuntala Yena Jata Sa Eva Saha Shakuntala Amavamsta Shakuntala Bhatra Bhatra Pitu Bhutra Yena Jata Sa Eva Saha Asana Nusanta Vasta Sukuntala Asana Pupuja Sa Eva Saha Nusanta Tavasya Pitu Putro Vamstasya Puntala. Vaishnavis, Mata, the mother. Bastra, just like the skin of a bellows containing air. Pitahu, of the father. Putraha, the son. Yena, by whom. Jataha, one is born. Saha, the father. Eva, indeed. Saha, the son. Barasva, just maintain. Putra, your son. Dushmanta, O Maharaj Dushmanta. Ma, do not. Avamamstaha, insult. Shakuntala, Shakuntala. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The voice said, O Maharaj Dushmanta, a son actually belongs to his father, whereas the mother is only a container like the skin of a bellows. According to the Vedic injunctions, the father is born as the son. Therefore, maintain your own son and do not insult Shakuntala. Purport. According to the Vedic injunction, Atmavai Putranamasi, the father becomes the son. The mother is simply like a storekeeper because the seed of the child is placed in her womb, but it is the father who is responsible for maintaining the son. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He is the seed-giving father of all living entities, Aham Bija Prada Pitaha. And therefore, He is responsible for maintaining them. This is also confirmed in the Vedas, Eko Bahunam Yo Vididati Kaaman. Although God is one, He maintains all living entities with their necessities for life. The living entities in different forms are the sons of the Lord, and therefore the Father, the Supreme Lord, supplies them food according to their different bodies. The small ant is supplied a grain of sugar, and the elephant is supplied tons of food, but everyone is able to eat. Therefore, there is no question of overpopulation. Because the Father, Krishna, is fully opulent, there is no scarcity of food. And because there is no scarcity, the propaganda of overpopulation is only a myth. Actually, one suffers for want of food when material nature, under the order of the Father, refuses to supply him food. It is the living entity's position that determines whether food will be supplied or not. When a diseased person is forbidden to eat, this does not mean that there is a scarcity of food. Rather, the diseased person requires the treatment of not being supplied with food. In the Bhagavad Gita 7:10, the Lord also says, Bijam Mam Sarva Bhutanam. I am the seed of all living entities. A particular type of seed is sown within the earth, and then a particular type of tree or plant comes out. The mother resembles the earth, and when a particular type of seed is sown by the father, a particular type of body takes birth. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the topic here is parents and children. It's a very serious responsibility, as we're seeing here. And, you know, I can say I never took up that responsibility of having children. So that means, I mean, as far as this material body is concerned, you know, I can trace it back a long, long time. You know, at the beginning of the day of Brahma, at the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma, the first living entity, was there. He created from his mind and his body Prajapatis, generators of population. And they began, you know, these demigod-like creatures began by their reproductive activities to generate the forms of human beings, plants, animals, and so forth. And the human lines were there, you know, reproducing one after another, generation by generation. And it comes down to me and it stops. So for some of us, it's like that. And for others, it's actually considered a Vedic duty to produce children. So many have taken up that responsibility of being fathers and mothers. And as we're learning here, it's a very serious responsibility according to these Vedic principles that are being mentioned here. It's especially the duty of the father to maintain the children. And even in modern society, there's some recognition of that if somebody fathers children, they assume some responsibility for them. Even if somehow or other the marriage breaks up for one reason or another, which often happens these days. You know, I was doing a little research, and in the United States of America, according to the latest census figures, there's about 13.7 million households where there is a single parent with children and the other parent is absent. Now, 82% of these households that are in that position are headed by women, but some of them are headed by men, 18% of them, about one out of six. So this isn't to cast blame on anyone who may find themselves in a situation like that. It's just stating that it is a fact. And according to the laws of most countries, the parent, either the mother or the father, who was responsible for the child, is responsible for paying some child support. So in most cases, it's the man who's legally required to pay some child support. So, you know, that is being mentioned here in the verse. You know, therefore maintain your son. So sometimes these things happen, and it's recognized even in modern society that the parent, in most cases the father, is responsible for the maintenance of the child, and it's, you know, sometimes enforced, you know, by some court decrees. Of course, sometimes in the news we hear about the phenomenon of deadbeat dads, which means they're responsible for paying, but they don't for one reason or another. As I said, these things are very difficult. Personalities are involved. There's all kinds of considerations. But in an ideal society, you know, the mother and the father who bring a child into the world would be responsible for maintaining and raising that child. And if that ideal situation isn't there, then sometimes some measures have to be taken. Even in modern society, this is recognized to an extent. Stated, according to the Vedic injunctions, Atma Vai Putranama Si, the father becomes the son. This is a statement from the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. It doesn't mean that the father this literally becomes the son. There's still two different personalities, two different souls. But it emphasizes the close connection between the father and the son, or the father and the child of any gender. It's something that also comes up. This same principle comes up elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam later in the 10th canto. We'll be hearing about how Lord Balaram came to an assembly of sages where Roma Harshana was speaking about the Puranas to the assembly of sages. And when Balaram came in, Roma Harshana didn't show him proper respect. So Balaram, it stated, killed him with a blade of grass, a blade of Kusha grass. And the sages were a little uncomfortable with this. So they said, well, yeah, we had promised this person that he would be able to speak on the Puranas to us, and that he would have long life and health. And of course, we understand your position. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is there any way you can make some arrangements so that your actions are kept intact, plus the benedictions that we offered to Roma Harshana would also be kept intact? And Balaram said, well, according to the Vedic principles, the son and the father are equivalent. You know, the father becomes the son. He, in the Sanskrit, in those verses in the Bhagavatam, he utters the words almost similar to the mantra that's mentioned here. Here it's mentioned, Aham Vai Putra. Atma Vai Putra Nama Si. He said, Atma Vai Putra Utpana. So it's equivalent. You know, the son, the father appears as the son. So he said, since the son is the same as the father, we can put his son as the speaker, and I'll give him all the benedictions that you gave his father. Also, this same principle comes up in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. He went from Bengal to make his base in Jagannath Puri. And Jagannath Puri was ruled by King Prataparudra, who wanted very much to meet Lord Chaitanya because he was he had devotional sentiments and he was very attracted to Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya, who was playing the role of a sannyasi in society, was of the opinion that he should not meet a king. Usually, according to the Vedic principles, sannyasi should be detached, you know, from materialistic, political kinds of affairs. So he didn't think it would be very proper if he would be seen meeting with a king. But he said, since the son is equivalent to the father appears as the son, if I met with his son, perhaps that would be reasonable. I could do that. So that's this same principle operating in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there is some close connection between the father and the children, and the father has a responsibility to maintain the children. But Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport that in the larger sense, the real father of all living entities is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, aham bija prada pitaha. I am the seed-giving father of all living entities, Krishna explains. So you could say that seed is the soul. All bodies are vehicles for souls. So when souls enter this material world, they require material bodies to function here, and Krishna has arranged a system whereby souls get material bodies through a process of biological reproduction. So, as the Supreme Father of all living entities, Krishna takes responsibility for maintaining them. And therefore, you know, Srila Prabhupada comments, there is no question of overpopulation. He says overpopulation is a myth. Of course, Srila Prabhupada was writing these things in the 1970s. And at that time, there was a lot of propaganda being made. I think at that time, the population of the earth was about 3 billion people. And there were all these doomsday predictions. You know, scientists were saying the earth has reached its carrying capacity for the human population. We can't sustain this population. Everybody's going to starve. It has to be done. There has to be abortion. There has to be contraception. We have to reduce the population. They were making a lot of propaganda like that, and Srila Prabhupada was speaking out against that. He said this overpopulation is a myth. You know, by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, the earth can support any amount of population as long as they're good. So even from the material point of view, it's true that there's not like a food crisis. It's not, if there is a food crisis in some part of the world, it's not because the world is incapable of producing enough food. It's because of political problems and things like that, that people aren't getting the food that they require. I was looking yesterday at a report by the Foundation for Economic Education, and on their website they say many experts believe that even with no advances in science and technology, we currently have the capacity to feed adequately on a sustainable basis 40 to 50 billion people, and even up to 8 to 10 times the current population. So these are just ordinary scientists saying that, without even any change in diet. A few years ago, some years ago, Mukunda Maharaj and I wrote a book called Divine Nature. And in that book, we cited a study that was made by the University of California back in the 1970s, where they calculated the same thing, that even without a change of diet or any kind of change in technology, the Earth can currently support 10 times its current population, which is now about 7 billion. So, that was stated in the 1970s, and right up to the current day, experts are telling us that. But the University of California's study pointed out that if people adopted a vegetarian diet, the Earth could support up to 50 times its current population. So as Srila Prabhupada was saying here, overpopulation is a myth. But he is pointing out there can be shortages. It's when people aren't behaving properly. Then their nature, which is under the control of Krishna, mayadyakshena prakriti, suyate sacharacharam, there can be some restriction at times. If people are performing too many sinful activities, then there can be some restriction of natural resources. Because the earth is actually a living thing, and she responds to the activities of the population. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyo anasambhava yagyad bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhava. So anad bhavanti bhutani, living beings subsist ultimately on vegetarian things, food grains. That's the start of the food cycle for all forms of life on earth. It starts with the plants. Anad bhavanti bhutani, all living entities ultimately subsist on food grains or other kinds of plant food. Everybody understands that. That's not too difficult to see. And then parjanyo anasambhava, and those plants, food grains, plants, vegetables, they depend upon rain. And we hear about that a lot in California today, because for the past few years there's been some drought. And recently there's been some rain, but if you add it up, it's still in a drought situation. It might take a couple years of very heavy rainfall and snowfall to completely bring California out of its drought situation. And that happens not just in California, but in other parts of the world also. They experience this lack of rainfall. And that becomes quite a serious problem. I mean, especially if it were to happen, as it's going to happen, as Kali Yuga progresses, where it's not just some local lack of rainfall, but a overall lack of rainfall over the whole earth. So, but people understand that too. Rain is required in order for us to have food and for maintaining life. They understand that. But the next point Krishna brings out, Yagyad Bhavati Parjanyo. Where does that rain come from? It comes from the performance of yajna. And that people just don't understand at all. You know, they think, you know, they're, and that is the big problem with modern civilization. They don't understand that all the resources are being provided. Just like, you know, we have electricity, we have water, we have gas, you know, that we're using in, you know, the kitchen and, you know, to carry out different activities. Where is it coming from? Well, it's coming, I mean, the way that we're getting it, it's coming through these utility companies, and you have to pay for it. If you don't pay for it, if you don't pay for the electricity will be turned off. If you don't pay for the water will be turned off. If you don't pay for the gas, it'll be turned off. So you have to make the sacrifice of earning some money and paying it on time to the utilities. So the universe is also like that. There are utilities that are operated by the demigods. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "And at the beginning of creation, I sent forth generations of human beings and demigods and sacrifice, whereby if the humans properly perform the sacrifice, then my demigod agents will provide them with the necessities of life." So, the in different ages, different sacrifices are required, and in the present age, the prescribed method of sacrifice is the Sankirtan Yajna. Jagyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajante Hi Sumedha Saha. Those who are intelligent will understand that in this age of Kali, one should perform the Sankirtan Yajna. And that has the effect, of course, of preparing the soul for entering the spiritual world. But it also has the effect of ensuring that we have the necessities for simple natural life. But as I said, modern society doesn't really understand these things, and therefore things are becoming a little bit chaotic. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes?
More than doubled the population. Now it's over seven billion. I was wondering why this is. Is this from a degradation of Kali Yuga and unrestricted sex life, or what is the cause of that?
All of the above. But the earth can support any number of people. But it's not that having many people is a bad thing. If everyone is in the mode of goodness or in transcendental consciousness, then it's just the more the merrier. The reason why we look at more people as being a bad thing is in Kali Yuga, the character of the people that are being produced, who are taking birth, is not so good. And therefore, they behave in ways in which they cause trouble to each other and to themselves. And it's not a very nice situation. But if people were all Krishna conscious, then it's just the more the merrier. Actually, they're trying as best they can to reduce the population. But Prabhupada said, he said back in the 1970s, even though they're trying through abortion and contraception to reduce the population, they really can't control it. Because another reason why, you know, the population may be increasing, and this is like a little, you know, transcendental speculation on my part, but it, you know, Srila Prabhupada has also gave some indication about this. So like if you have a school and every year a new class of freshmen come in, you know, new first-year students come in, and they're supposed to stay for 4 years. And the normal system is, say, 1,000 come in freshmen, and 1,000 become sophomores, and then 1,000 become juniors, and 1,000 become seniors, and then 1,000 graduate, and then another 1,000 comes in. The population will stay the same. But if some students aren't graduating, then the population will increase. You know, in other words, if they're not graduating and students are still coming in, then it will increase. So if people aren't graduating from the human form of life to go to the spiritual world, that means the population is going to increase because they have to take human birth again if they're lucky. And some apparently are. So that may be another reason. Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Nice class, as usual. My question is this, that now there's droughts here in California, other places in the world. Terrorism is a, you know, an ongoing threat. So we could say at this point, aha, they're not performing jagya. And that's why there's drought, and that's why there's terrorism, and that's why there's this, that, and the other thing, all the problems, because they're not performing jagya. But previously, people were not performing jagya. Before Prabhupada came in 65, there was no jagya being performed. But the United States was pretty prosperous. I mean, you know, I don't think there was any problems with droughts at that point. There was no terrorism. Things were really hunky-dory. So how do we understand that?
Well, jagya is being performed now all over the world by Srila Prabhupada's inspiration and mercy. And unless that were happening, things would probably be a lot worse than they are today.
I'll go with that. But what about the first
one? One way I would look at it.
What about before they even, you know, because before Prabhupada came in 65, there was no jagya being performed, but there were, seems like there were times of abundance, you know, prosperous conditions, and at least here in the United States.
The country was more pious in those days, and, you know, Srila Prabhupada has kind of indicated that, you know, the Americans and Europeans and other wealthy people, they're living off the results of their past pious activities. You know, they're, you know, one nation under God, you know, lots of churches and things, you know, performing some kind of pious activities. And, of course, that's not the ultimate goal of life, you know, to perform pious activities. The ultimate goal is to come to the transcendental platform. But if you have things like that, it's the result of good karma performed either in a past life or, in other words, some kind of austerity and pious activity was performed, and therefore they were getting the result of that. But it can run out, you know, if you're not replenishing the store of pious activities and you're accumulating more and more impious results, then it's like you're running your credit card debt up, and it'll ultimately be reflected. Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.